FM 100.3, KFAN.
Here come the kids. Scott Crichton's bigger up here, isn't he? Hey, Crichton's bigger up here, isn't he?
Your equipment's working great today, Dave.
Jeez, right. B-Rod's contraption. Hot. Back in Eden Prairie, we are paging for a Jason Middendorf. A Jason Middendorf. Do we have a, is there somebody within the 89 players here named Jason Middendorf? Is that you? Jason Middendorf? Come on, sit down over here. Join the old 9 to noon radio production. You're from Eden Prairie, right? Nice to meet you, man. My name's Paul Allen. Welcome to my radio show, Chattanooga.
Ben Lieber, good to meet you.
Yep, Rick Spielman, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. How you doing, Rick?
Good.
Hey, you are Jason Middendorf from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, could you share with us the very special story that landed you here for organized team activities today?
This past January, I had my fourth open heart surgery.
Four?
Yes, sir.
Holy cow. And how did you get in contact with the Vikings?
My brother-in-law, Charlie Barker, is friends with Bob Hagen and yourself.
Okay. So. Yeah, Charlie Barker. I have all of his albums. I remember when he used to open for the late B.B. King. But four open-heart surgeries, young man.
Yes, sir.
After two, how scared do you get when you get into three and four?
Wasn't really expecting the third, so that was really scary.
Holy cow.
And we knew that I was going to have the fourth, so it was kind of... nervous, but still,
Rick, how do you factor into this?
I got an opportunity to call him before the surgery, and just wanted to wish him luck. He's a huge Viking fan. He follows the draft religiously.
Right on.
And I told him, you know, with all the strength and energy that he has to get through what he's been through, if he pulls through this one, that we'd definitely have him out for an OTA, him and his parents out here.
Nice. So did you have the opportunity to talk to Jason, like, right before he went into the heart surgery?
I think Jason, right? It was right before you were getting ready to head down to the hospital.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Now, you love the Minnesota Vikings, correct?
Yes.
And you followed the draft closely?
Definitely.
Well, you know you had a rare opportunity there to shape Rick's draft. I mean, seriously, you're on the table going into heart surgery, and you could have been like, look, if I have just one request, make it Trey Waynes. Please, just make it Trey Waynes, Rick. And then Rick made it Trey Waynes, you know?
Yep.
What if he had said, if I have just one request, make it Devontae Parker? Well, it would have been draft night. You would have been, oh, my God, what am I going to do here?
Well, that's added pressure.
Hey, welcome to Winter Park, man.
Thank you.
And God bless you, okay? And congratulations and nothing but great health to you the rest of the way.
It's an amazing story of all the surgeries that he's been through and how he came through this last one. And I think it was you were telling me it was a 12-hour surgery and three different surgeons.
Yes, sir.
And for someone with that strength and that courage to go through that and to pull through that and to be where he's at today is just tells you the testimony of his will and you know, his family and what they've been through and what they were able to endure.
What do you love most about the Vikings?
Everything.
You love watching the games, going to the games, the whole thing?
Yep.
Right on, man. Can I get a love covenant clap for Jason Middendorf, please, joining us here at Winter Park today through four open-heart surgeries, through Rick Spielman, Bob Hagen, and the Minnesota Vikings taking in a practice today. Thank you, Jason. Nice to meet you, man. Anything I can ever do for you or the fan or anything, just feel free to contact us, all right?
All right, thank you.
That's Ask him to hook you up with some jewelry. He never has done that for me.
Hey, guess what? If there's one person on this exclusive Will Perch right now who can get the exact Adrian Peterson answer we need, it's you. Seriously, like he's going to say no to you? Come on, Jason. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, Rick, first of all, thanks for having us. Secondly, what's new with Teddy Bridgewater? For those who haven't seen him this offseason or, you know, followed him that closely, what's new with him?
Yeah, he's done a great job this offseason. When he went home, you know, he's a what you call self-starter, self-motivator. Took all the tapes, evaluated where he was at last year. And just see him being around the team coming in the second year and the confidence that he has and just knowing the offense and being involved in the scheme one year and learning from some of the, you know, the good things he's done as well as some of the bad things he did last year or so, and seeing him start to become the leader of this team and to take command of that huddle, it's a maturing process that you see taking place right in front of you. And does he have a ways to go yet? Still, he's going to get better. And is he going to be this year when he may be 3 or 4 years down the road? But we're very excited about his progress and how well he's worked at to be the best he can be.
Well, the first thing I noticed when I saw him was his size. You know, I think he was criticized a little bit out of college that he's a little spindly, a little thin, but he's got a bigger upper body, much more mass. And I know that was probably a point of emphasis, but how is he in that regard? Is he where you guys want him to be, or do you want him to be a little bit bigger?
No, you have to remember when these kids come out and they come out early, they're 20, 21-year-old kids. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen an old picture of Tom Brady when he came out of Michigan.
He was paunchy.
Yeah.
He was weird looking.
But not only are these guys mentally maturing and learning, but physically they're still going to get bigger. They're still going to get stronger. I think Evan Marcus, Jeff Hurd, those guys down in the weight room do a great job developing these guys, getting these guys bigger and stronger. So it's just all part of the process. And when you get all these young guys in, and we have a very young roster, and you got guys that are 21, 22 years old, you know that they're still physically maturing. And so we're excited about where he's at, and he's just going to get better as we go along.
Do you love this time of the year, the slow build through mini camp? Settle down for a little bit, go to training camp in the preseason?
This is exciting because you get an opportunity. We started on Tuesday to see the competition part. Now you can see the offense versus the defense.
How much can you really see, though, with, like, all the rules and everybody overseeing everything?
There's
in the
no
NFL.
Contact, and it's a little harder to maybe get a feel for offense and defensive line. You can't see them tackle. You know, you can only you make your initial contact, then you let go. But you can see the athleticism. You can see the speed. You know, one of the things that we definitely wanted to upgrade was some of the speed at the receiver position, and you can definitely see that with Mike Wallace and CP and Jarius Wright and
Charles Johnson,
those guys. And even Adam Thielen looks better than he was from a year ago. So we're very excited about that. The other point of emphasis, we wanted to get, you know, address that linebacker position. And when you get Anthony Barr out there and now Kendricks, who's an extremely athletic kid, as you sit here watching him move around, there's some kids – you know, that we picked up, this Canadian kid, Peters, shows a lot of athleticism out there. Now, we'll figure out what they are once the pads come on, but I know we're a faster and more athletic football team.
But at this time of the year, like when the offense is going against the defense 11-on-11 and there's a play over the middle, shouldn't the wide receiver, if it's a well-thrown pass, like make that catch every single time? Guys like Harrison Smith, they're kind of neutralized in a situation like
right.
this.
Right, and this they have to pull up. The receiver has the right to get the ball, and that's what the rules are. And, you know, guys do get competitive, and if something does get tangled up, coaches get on them right away. Hey, this is, you know, let the receiver have the right of way to the ball. There's going to be plenty of time for you to make those opportunities when we get the pads on in August.
Well, you mentioned the wide receivers as kind of a point of emphasis. I think a lot of people after the draft was looking at offensive line. And now you have a chance to see these guys. Fusco's moved over to the left side. What have you seen out of him, and what have you seen out of T.J. Clemmons on the right side just in the last couple of days?
Yeah, we have a lot of young offensive linemen. And, you know, last year with Yankee and how he's progressed so far, to get a T.J. Clemmons, we were very fortunate to get him in the fourth round. And this is the first time, you know, he's only played offensive line for 2 years, and now this is the first time he's lined up at guard. I know the coaches are doing a great job just trying to find the best five combination, and that'll continue. This is how we're lined up today. That competition is going to be wide open, but it'll be great to get Fusco back. Fusco is probably one of our most athletic offensive linemen, so him and Khalil on that side, that's what we're trying to look at, that combination. Matt's looked great so far in this offseason after getting his knees cleaned up, and then Lotholt will be back with us hopefully shortly.
What are some of the things, the transitional things that Fusco has to worry about going from the right side to the left side? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, that's easy. It's a position. It's guard to guard. But
right,
what
the plays are the same. It's just it's the footwork. It's the technique. All of a sudden you're doing things the opposite of what you've been doing since you've been here. But he's very athletic, and that's why we do this during this time, because you have time, even when we were in phase two, just working on technique and working on that left side to get used to that. It's, you know, kind of going from right-handed to left-handed and just getting adjusted to that. And then it's the chemistry amongst those guys up here. All of a sudden now he's on the left side of Saleh, on the inside of Khalil, and those guys learning to work as one unit.
Say, you know, the head coach has talked about the potential of Brandon Fusco transitioning to left guard, then that means the right guard spot would be up for battle. Is it a bad take to say, wouldn't it be best to keep Fusco at the spot you've raised him at, so therefore you're not jacking with two-fifths of the offensive line and you're just kind of working with one?
I think that's right now, during this time of year, you want to do those type of experiments. You want to see if this is going to work or if it's not going to work, and you have plenty of time between now and then we open up in San Francisco. Well, you know, we got an extra week in training camp because we're playing in the Hall of Fame game, so that gives you five preseason games. Now, the vets aren't going to play, but it gives you an extra week down in Mankato to practice. So one of the reasons why we wanted to play in that Hall of Fame game, because we knew we have a lot of young players, and for our coaches to get an opportunity to work with them for an extra week, especially in pads, we felt was critical.
So there's no obligation in the Hall of Fame game, the Canton game, to play Bridgewater, some of your better players,
it's
if only a normal for a series?
It's a normal preseason game.
Yeah.
So however the coaches decide play time during that game.
Yeah. I know you're not married or locked into how the five games are going to go, but, I mean, it is different. Where now, I mean, how does the third preseason game stay as the third preseason game? Does it become, like, what's the fifth game compared to the third? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we look at it, you know, is an opportunity to have an extra game. Now, maybe the starters only play a series or two. I don't know how that'll play out. I think it'll depend on how everything's going down there at training camp before we head down there.
Yeah.
But you also got to be mindful if you want to have guys healthy and ready to go when you open up the regular season, too. So the coaches and Coach Zimmer and his staff do a great job balancing the work that we need to get done, but yet making sure those guys are healthy and ready to go when the season opens.
Vikings GM Rick Spielman, exclusive Wilf Perch, 9 to noon.
So does that change this whole process, knowing that training camp's going to come a week sooner? Is everything a little bit accelerated, or is this pretty much on track and it'll pick up in mid-July?
Yeah, no, everything's just as normal. Right. The only thing you're doing is you're getting an extra bonus week. So they're going through the same process that we did last year. The difference this year is, you know, last year at this time, everybody's trying, even the veterans are learning a whole new offense and a whole new defensive scheme. So they've been in it for a year now. They understand it better. They know what to expect. So when you bring your new rookies in or any of your new free agents that you signed to come in, now the coaches are working with them, but the veterans can also help in teaching the scheme to those guys, where last year everybody was starting from square one.
Did you ever see the movie with Anthony Hopkins, Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
So you're familiar with Hannibal Lecter's face?
Where are you going with this?
Well, that's what Mike Zimmer looks like when he's asked an Adrian Peterson question.
Ah, okay.
I mean, it's Zimmer doesn't prefer doing a lot of stuff with the media, and he does the best he can and what he's obligated to do. But is it a difficult situation for you to talk about too? I mean, is it an uncomfortable situation?
It's not uncomfortable. It is what it is. Adrian Peterson's under contract. We said we're not going to trade him.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to have Adrian Peterson be a part of this football team in 2015. And like I said previously, it's the end of the story.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Is there anything happening now? Well, of course there's something happening now, but compared to what he learned last year with Norv Turner's offense, is there markedly a lot of stuff different that he would be missing by not being here now?
No. I think, you know, he's been in the league long enough, and at that position it's pretty easy to get caught up on things.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd have to ask Coach Zimmer or Norv, but I don't think there's any concern with that.
Last one, you think he'll be at minicamp?
We're excited to get him back when he comes back.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to follow up real quick. You've been in this league a very, very long time. And I know that we have yet to
see. Am I aging that bad?
It's a testament to you, because I obviously know how it goes to stay in this league for a long time and do what you do. But is there anything that you can look back to in your past, whether it happened to you directly or with another team, that helped you prepare for an Adrian-type situation?
Boy, if you look back through, I think, my 24th or 25th year in the league, there's been a lot of things. I've been, you know, down there in Miami with the Ricky Williams situation that we had to deal with. You know, there's been times throughout my career, but that just sticks out the most because it's the same position and a marquee type player who's in the prime at the time we were down in Miami. So again, as you go through all these experiences, you learn from those experiences, and then as you go forward in your career and things do come up or things you have to deal with, By having experiences in the past, it gives you a better understanding of how to deal with things as they come up.
So you've been to handling school. I mean, you've learned to handle things.
I've been to handling school a few times.
If something like this was happening younger in your career, do you think you'd be more emotional with it, maybe less calculated?
I don't know. I think it's just like anything else. The more experience coaches have, the more experience players have, the more experience you have in the front office,
yeah,
the more have you seen, the more you have had to dealt with, the better you have a grip on things and how to handle things.
Hey, Jason Middendorf, can you ask Rick Spielman when Adrian Peterson's going to play for the Minnesota Vikings? We'd really appreciate that. Rick Spielman, general manager, Minnesota Vikings. Ben Lieber, Paul Allen, Vikings organized team activities at Winter Park. A final segment with the GM after this. Okay, Benjamin. We're almost hot. Hold on, not yet. Go ahead. Hot. So you were thinking, what were you saying? Eric Kendricks more of a chance to be Defensive Rookie of the Year than Trey Waynes?
I think he said something like that, yeah.
Well, because after he said it between segments, General Manager Rick Spielman with us, I did a quick Google search on defensive backs who become Defensive Rookie of the Year. There aren't many. I mean, you got, I think, Dale Carter in like 92 and maybe one after that, but why do you think that is? I mean, is it an acclimation process for a cornerback in the National Football League?
I think it's a little bit the skill set that they're going against.
Yeah.
I mean, these are going against receivers that have played a long time in the league that know the nuances. It's different than when you're lining up maybe against Bobby Bag of Donuts at Beaver Creek Falls yep. College. If there is such a place.
He would have played for us at 05. Great feat, that kid. Yeah.
But also learning the defenses and learning all the different intricacies on the defensive side and the checks and the calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much cushion do you give a speed guy compared to more of a possession guy?
Yeah.
And it's just the acclimation of just – but it's at every position. I think it's the more experience you get, and you have to go through those growing pains, and the more experience you get, the better you learn, the better you understand the game.
Watch me make the general manager laugh.
All right.
Bobby Bag of Donuts, too many holes in his game. Told you.
There you go.
What'd you like better, that one or the Hannibal Lecter lead into Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, that one was better.
Hannibal Lecter, he's worked in the NFL for a quarter century. You just don't come out and say, Adrian Peterson, right. Your thoughts. You got to set it up with Anthony Hopkins, Jody Foster, and how do we get to the winner's circle?
Well, you had to pick the right time frame, too.
Right.
Because you couldn't pick anything probably too current, because I'm sure he probably hasn't seen it. No. time for movies like
his
that.
His favorite movie's Pitch Perfect, too.
I'm sure it is. Okay, let's take that a step further, then, with the transition between corners and all these other positions. How much more difficult is it for you guys to scout these young college players, knowing that the college game is becoming so different than the NFL? Speed-wise, tempo-wise, defenses aren't as complex. All that stuff. How do you scout these guys and transition into the NFL?
Well, what you're trying to identify first is, does he have the athletic skill set to even match up in this league? And you have to assume a lot of these guys, especially maybe when you're looking at offensive linemen and they're in a spread out attack, some of those guys have never been in a 3-point stance for 4 years. They've been in a 2-point stance. So you have to teach them how to come off the ball and run block. I think our coaches do a great job during the spring where they get out there and start coaching these guys. And when we get into our draft meetings and we'll sit there and I'll be asking questions and we'll ask the coach, listen, you work this guy out. How did he take the coaching? Was he able to adapt to some of the things in that short period of time that you were trying to teach him? And so you're kind of projecting what this guy is going to be as a pro. He has to have first the athletic skill set to even match up at this league, and then you're going to have to anticipate, and we have a great coach and staff that are great teachers, that they're going to have to take some of this raw talent and develop that. And this year in the draft, I mean, we took a lot of athletes, and the one is the Hunter kid from LSU, the defensive end.
Say his first name.
Danielle.
Daniil. Right. I dare you to call him Danielle. I almost made that mistake at rookie camp.
Daniil.
Yeah.
Daniil.
Remember that Hannibal Lecter line we were just talking about? He almost bit off my ear.
Yeah. But, you know, a guy like that, and then I was down there with George Edwards and worked him out at LSU, and to see this guy drop in coverage and to drop his weight and to the burst he had out of when he was changing direction, And then you talk to him about what he was being taught and what scheme he was playing with at LSU. And if we do this with him and fit him in our scheme, how much upside does this guy have? Because he has tremendous upside from an athletic standpoint.
So at this stage, with obviously a lot still to learn, OTAs, minicamp, and so on, you're okay with your defensive end rotation? You know, Mike Zimmer recently said that, or conceded, he should have rotated his defensive ends more last year, and he wants to do it more this year. You know, and you see Robinson and Griffin, Dubose, Danielle Hunter's age 20.
Don't forget the one guy that's kind of start popping out right now is Scott Crichton.
As a defensive end.
As a defensive end. And they've moved him inside some as an inside nickel rusher.
Yeah.
And last year, him and David Yankee, for example, weren't here this whole time.
Right.
Because they were on a quarter system and weren't able to attend. So they started from square one.
So that means Kendricks has graduated?
Yes, okay. Kendricks has graduated, so that's why he's able to be here.
Yeah.
But the difference in year one to year two and what we've seen so far is tremendous. But we're very excited about all these young guys, but Scott's going to have, I think, going to be have a very productive year for us, too, the way he's shown so far.
Well, for those two guys, is it a general, you know, everything? Is it physically they had to get a little bit better, maturity-wise they had to learn the game a little bit more? Like, or was there one specific thing for each one of them that you said, all right, in this offseason, do this
to get
better for OTAs?
Ben, and you know this better than anyone. It's, one, the speed of the game, and, two, the technique. Because most people, if they're going to be in this league and make an NFL roster, you're going to have the physical skill set for the most part. But then it's the technical part of it. How quickly do you read and react things? How quickly is your hand placement? All those things are coachable, but they take time to develop. And that's why you see, you know, Xavier Rhodes from year one to how he started to progress in year two. Okay, they start to understand the game more. They start to understand what offense is trying to do. They start to understand the personnel matchups, and they start to understand the technique that's being taught to them to give them the best chance to be successful.
Which is, you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but, you know, I agree with the NFL, and I disagree with the NFLPA in this stance, that this truncated offseason hurts a lot of those guys. It hurts not just the young guys, but it hurts a lot of veterans, too, especially if you're learning a new system, you got a new coach in. You know, these guys need to be here. I mean, we were here in the middle of March doing workouts and whatnot.
Right.
And we were looking, you know, you're looking at stuff. You have that time to go in. Maybe it's not officially with your coach, but you have time to look at film. You have time to kind of like, all right, I need to refocus. This is the things I need to work on for OTAs. And now they don't do that until the middle of April, and you've lost 4 to 5 weeks.
And during that, our coaches have very limited time. You can't even talk to players about football until they show up for the off-season program.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
And in the first 2 weeks.
Why is it like that?
That's the NFLPA and what they felt was best for the players. And, you know, I don't know. I wasn't in those negotiations. But it's, you know, the first 2 weeks, it's just physical training in the weight room. Our coaches can't even be down there, you know, nothing on the field with our players. So the first time our coaches actually are allowed to even get them on the field is in phase two, but it's against air and what we call perfect plays. So you can work technically on individual stuff, and then you work against air. And then, you know, this is our third day that we're at the end of May here, that we're actually starting allowed to compete against each other and actually see some of the things that were being taught in the offseason, seeing how they're being applied. And it's different. As you know, you can go against air and look perfect, but then all of a sudden you got someone lined up against you. Things start spinning in your head a little bit with all the calls and all the checks and movements. And you got to get to a point as a player, in my opinion, is where you just react. You know what to do, and you just go out there and react. You're not sitting there hesitating, thinking, okay, they just moved here. I got to go to this check. And then by the time the ball's snapping, the guy's on top of you. So those are all the things that, you know, that you're trying to get accomplished through the offseason and you're trying to get accomplished in training camp.
What do you like about cornerback Terrence Newman?
Terrence, you know, when we sat there and watched tape on him last year, in the first half of the year, he was playing very well, and he's a exception to the rule for his age and how he still moves and how he takes care of his body.
Is he 36?
I think he's 36, going to be 37. But just his movement skills, and you've seen his speed, and you've seen his cover ability, and to have a guy with that type of experience that has played at a high level his whole career in this league to come in here with our young defense and not only to still contribute and be a part of this defense, but also be a mentor to these young guys. And he's not only a great person on the field, but a great kid off the field. Or I should say man now. but we're very excited to have him as part of our roster right now.
I talked to one of the DBs a couple weeks ago, and he paid, you know, I think, you know, one of the ultimate compliments any player can say to somebody else, another player, was that he thinks that Terrence Newman plays Mike Zimmer's scheme better than anybody else he's ever seen. And I think when you talk about mentorship, if anything else, he can tell these guys from experience in his defense many, many years going back to Dallas that this is how you do it. Maybe it doesn't make sense to you, but this is how it works.
Right.
And this is what it looks like.
And that's a guy, again, who's played at a high level at a long time in the same system. And I think the important thing in today's NFL, too, with the limited time the coaches can be with these guys, is having that continuity year in and year out, and especially at the quarterback position. I think when you have young quarterbacks and you're trying to develop them, and then they're in one scheme or a West Coast scheme this year, then there's a coaching change, then you're in this system this year, then all of a sudden you're in another new offensive coordinator come in. Those guys are never going to get that. I don't care how talented you are. And it's the guys that are great quarterbacks in this league. Aaron Rodgers to me is right now the best quarterback in this league. And the Tom Brady's, those guys have been in the same system year in and year out, and they know it probably better than the coaches know it by now.
Yeah. You know, I think that what you said about the defense, I think that's what excites me most about this team next year. I mean, more so than the potential of Adrian coming back or Teddy's second year, is watching the defensive tackles, because now I know how important they are to Mike Zimmer. You know, and I thought, quite honestly, the four-man rotation did pretty well last year. And if you really get hardcore with Zimmer, who's not super satisfied about anything, unless it's 15-1, you know, he wants more connectivity and more communication between the defensive tackles to help the next level. Then the next level helps the next level. And to just learn about that and to watch the possibilities in year two, now that most of them know it, that's really exciting.
Well, we made tremendous strides last year on defense, and I give like a lot of credit to Coach Zimmer and that defense, George Edwards and that whole defensive staff. But, you know, when you sit in some of these team meetings, or, you know, Coach Zimmer will call out an Everson Griffin, hey, what's Harrison Smith doing on this call? Because he expects everybody on that side to understand what everybody's doing. And if you can have a defensive tackle or defensive end knowing what a safety's doing, then everybody is working in sync as one.
How comfortable are you with the safety position outside Harrison Smith?
Well, everybody, I think, you know, Harrison is our guy back there and the quarterback of our defense. But it's going to be great competition. I mean, Robert Blanton going into his second year, he's looked very good so far. Very excited about Exum, because now this is the second year he's lined up as a safety and has only played safety 2 years. And he's showing up, and we're excited about Andrew Zendejo. When he came in, you know, he did a great job last year. So
Tony Zendejas.
The one thing that you want to try to create is as much competition as you can, because if you can create competition and guys fighting for not only 53-man roster spots but for starting jobs, that's just going to elevate everybody's game, and the cream's going to rise to the top.
Rick, when you're scouting college players and you're watching college film, how difficult is it to know exactly what you want from a guy when you don't exactly know what the play is?
You know, a lot of that we get done in the off season. So when we're sitting there and evaluating the tape and you're evaluating a safety, well, you have to watch probably 6-7 games before you really get a true indication of what that safety is, because at that position you're not involved in the play all the time.
Yeah.
And then what we do is, once we get into our off season, when we start meeting with them at the combine, or we go to the school, or we come in on a top 30, we spend a lot of film time with those guys, have them explain to us, okay, what was your assignment here?
Right.
Why did this not look good? Were you right, or who was wrong? And so you get a better feel in the off season. During the season, when our college guys are out there scouting or we're out there looking at tape, all we're doing is evaluating what we think they can and can't do and putting a grade on them on where we think their draft value is. But it really hones in the off season when you start, does he fit in a scheme? That's when your coaches come in. Can he do what we're going to ask him to do? And then you get into some of those things that maybe you had questions on when you're watching tape during the fall. Hey, you know, we show kids their cut-ups. So we'll pick out, when we're interviewing at the combine, for example, if I don't have to go into any off-field concerns or anything like that, we'll dive right into the tape, and we'll have a 10-15 play cut-up during that time, and we'll show them, explain to us what you're doing here, why did you do this?
Yeah.
and, okay, what is this corner doing and why are you rolling down?
Which is the part I failed at. I really did.
How'd you stay in the NFL?
That was so stressful.
I mean, on the Power Trip Morning Show, you say you were terrible with bench pressing. Now you're saying you were terrible with cut-up. Seriously.
Well, I tell you what, when I forget even who it was, I had a team come into my pro day and say, hey, let's go watch some film. And,
right.
And I wasn't prepped for it. Like, nobody at K-State staff told me that they were going to do this. So I go up there, and in college I did a lot of stuff off memorization. I didn't know football that well, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know the X's and O's. I didn't know why we played cover four and what it really meant. So I just knew what I was supposed to do. So we put on the film. He's like, what are you doing here? I go, it's cover brown. Well, what's brown? I don't know. I'm supposed to drop the curl.
Come on, man. And you went the third round?
I went the third round.
Oh, my God.
So I was sweating bullets, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So
yeah.
These guys now, I mean, from what I see, in all the pre-draft stuff, these guys understand football way better than I ever understood it.
But I think there's more of an emphasis on it right now probably than when you came out because these agents understand what's being expected of these guys when they go through this off-season program.
Yeah.
And they go through the combine and they go through the pro days and they go through and on the visits. So these kids are even more prepped. Even if it's not from their colleges, it's from their agents and their representatives, and they go to specialists, you know.
Right.
Quarterbacks go to the quarterback gurus. There's offensive line coaches that were former NFL coaches working with these offensive linemen. So they go through a lot of tape with these guys to try to prep them on what the teams are going to be asking them.
You know, what I think that you guys did beautifully throughout this draft, and I don't know if it just worked out that way, but when you guys were talking about each individual player, it was, he can do this, that, and the other on the field, but guess what? He's also got great character, and he's a great person off the field. I mean, was it just lucky that you guys had a group of guys that fit all those check marks, or
I think it's specifically looking for how they're developed on our board, and we have a checks and balance system on our board, is when we do have a guy that may have questionable character, okay, we have a spot to put him on our board. And then you have to make the decision, well, if he's a second-round talent and he's still sitting there in the fifth, is it worth taking the risk?
Right.
Some guys, I know with the heightened awareness of everything going on in the NFL and what these kids have to be cognizant of, you know, social media, things like that, you have to make that determination whether you want this guy in your locker room and what you're trying to build and what you don't. And we do that as we're sitting there with our scouts and our coaches and go through all this and then come up with our final decision.
What's the long play on Babatunde Ayegbusi? I mean, it's
Babs for short.
He's the biggest guy I've seen since Mark Eaton. Seriously, he's bigger than Phil Loadholt. Like, what? I mean, is it a shot? Is you just taking a shot? I mean, you're trying to develop somebody?
You know, he is a Mike Shelton, one of our scouts, was down at Texas San Antonio at their pro day, and I have a relationship with the agent. And he flew in the night before over from Poland.
Jeez.
There was some kind of connection. He flew in. Was up all night, got off the plane, went and worked out, and he, you know, we see this big 6'7", 6'8", guy, 335 pounds that runs like a 5'2", 8".
Yeah.
Has a tremendous athletic workout.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa. So Mike called Ryan Munnins, who's our pro director, hey, we need to get this guy up there for a workout. So we came up, worked him out. He's raw, but he has some tools to work with.
Really?
And we'll just see where it develops. But
yep.
I know you can't teach his size. You can't teach his athleticism.
Yep.
But also, when you're scouting, you know, the German, whoever they were, against the, you know, Italian pizza players, it's kind of, yeah.
I thought we were going back to World War II and like a Benito Mussolini reference. Well, when you watch Babs on the YouTube.
To be honest with you, you know, like when I watch college tape, I want to watch, you know, a player against an Alabama or a player against an LSU or an Ohio State. When I'm trying to figure out, okay, Babs, you know.
Against Croatia.
German against the Eastern Russian bloc. I don't know how good that guy is.
But when you watch it, it seriously looks like Michael Orr in The Blind Side.
Yeah.
When he's running down the field. I mean.
Well, I know George Payton, our assistant GM, played over in the Italian league after college for a couple years. And I said, well, geez, George, if he's walking guys like you, he's got a long way to go.
Hey, thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me on.
Have a good
day. Thank you.
And nice job with Jason. Jason Middendorf, again, welcome to Vikings practice. Covenant collapse for my man, 4 open heart surgeries. He's out here after Rick Spielman contacted him before his 4th open heart surgery. Today is the day he gets to watch Vikings practice. He and his family are having a great day. When we return, Minnesota Vikings Chief Operating Officer Kevin Warren joins us. It's 9 to noon. You're